Like, there was clear frustration. No, seriously.
I know, but this thing that Bob was a giant one time for a couple years, like, he never connected
he
to
was
me.
An A. Like, let's stop it right there. He was an A. He was never a giant.
They've been trying to sell me, and I'm talking about former A's employees, and you know exactly who you are. Former A's covering, people who covered the A's. Everyone wanted to sell me on Bob Melvin. It never hit me. Bob never hit me
Bob
like that.
Bob never sold himself on being Bob Melvin to this team, to this fan base.
Absurd.
So that's where we're at with that. This is going to be a massive, you know, search. And, of course, the name that always pops up, Bruce Bochy, as the Texas Rangers in him part ways. Now, I did see, like, conflicting reports or tweets, you know, Passan saying, you know, the Giants are going to be interested. Could Bochy be interested? But I got, you know, John Heyman also saying that, you know, he's going to stay on with the Texas Rangers, Bruce Bochy, that is, as a consultant. So who knows? All I know is that Bruce Bochy is currently not managing a Major League Baseball team. And I'm sure Buster Posey is going to reach out.
So I'm just a big believer in these reunite situations very rarely work out. Mm. You know, you might have a little bit of success. You know, I think like somebody like Joe Gibbs stepped away, went to NASCAR, came back to football. You know, it wasn't as good as the original tenure. I think of Don Nelson coming back. Look, I know We Believe was great, but it crashed and burned the next year. I mean, big time. And there's a variety of reasons why. I know everyone's going to point to Phil Jackson. Phil's a very unique case. Phil didn't want to coach through the lean years and made up reasons, as I go air quotes, to step away. And I think he was at a status in the game that allowed him to kind of do whatever he wanted. But we can all agree, Phil is quite close to a unicorn in this scenario, as you're going to find. And I know Bochy is the greatest New York or San Francisco manager of all time. I know there's somebody screaming about John McGraw in New York, but for my money, it's Bruce Bochy, and it's not close. I don't want to reach back into the past. One thing that's really frustrated me with the 49ers, and I'm talking about ownership, is that they're so worried about replicating the 80s. It's like, why don't you just forge your own future? And I'm a big believer in creating your own path and not what did we do well a decade ago, what's going to be hitting for the next decade. Look at all the different companies right now that are thriving. Are they worried about replicating a product from the past, or are they looking for what the next future thing is?
Innovation.
Future. Absolutely. Now, look, again, it can work, and I'm not saying that Bruce Bochy is not on my list somewhere, but to say that I'm hot on it is completely inaccurate. I'm very lukewarm at best when it comes to the Bruce Bochy reunion with the San Francisco Giants. I actually think it would be a bad look for Buster Posey because to me it screams, I don't have a lot of creativity and outside-the-box thinking or contacts around the league.
What if I threw this at you, and I would love participation from the fans right now, 888-957-9570. The phone lines are open. You can also text us on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Same number for both, 888-957-9570. We got a massive, massive show. A lot of Niners are going to dive into. We'll dive into the Warriors. We're currently talking about the Giants. We got Brian Baldinger, 7:30, Baldy's Breakdowns. Again, this is absolutely, without a doubt, the best show we have every week. It's on a Tuesday. We got the day to marinate on the game, on all the injuries. We got Bonte joining us after Baldy, 8 o'clock in studio for 2 hours. We'll touch on all three of the teams with the king himself. Bonte, he was at Media Day yesterday. He got to chat with all the players, say what's up to him. We'll get his thoughts on all the comments to Jonathan Kuminga, about Jonathan Kuminga, I should say, because Kuminga wasn't there. Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, all of that. I promise we will get to it. But what about this, Joe? And it's not like for like the same, but how did you feel when the 49ers brought back Robert Saleh as defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, I think he was the best candidate available. And he's not the top dog. Like, he's the defensive coordinator. So it's a little different. It's slightly unique. It's like bringing back, to me, it would be like bringing back Luke Walton or Mike Brown or, what's the other guy that was on the team? He was the offensive coordinator, and then he left. He went to Phoenix. He's bounced around a few times. Oh, the name's evading me. One of the many coaches that the Warriors have brought back. Like, he wasn't really the top dog. So, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But
Alvin Gentry.
Alvin Gentry. Yeah. Thank you. That's, again, I'm not saying it can't work. Like, think about this. What's the issue right now with the Giants? You got a lot of young guys that play a different kind of brand of ball that want somebody that can connect to them. You've got a variety of personalities in that clubhouse that probably, to me, needs someone closer to their age and their generation than from three or four generations ago. And I don't think going into the pass is the correct tact here. I don't even know if Bochy wants it. Now, look, this would never happen. Ever. I don't think this would ever happen. But my number one choice is not Bruce Bochy.
Oh.
My number one choice is the guy from Tennessee, Tony Vitello. He's 40-something years old. He is a college baseball lifer. For those that are like rolling their eyes right now, college baseball, going to the bigs. Well, the guy who's managing the Milwaukee Brewers right now in the playoffs was the Arizona State coach. And to me, it's kind of like a Jimmy Johnson-esque acquisition. If you follow college baseball even a little, this guy didn't just like ignite Tennessee. He helped create them. First 40-win season, they've just been in the sectionals year after year after year after year. Now, you hire someone like that, you better have an old-time OG who does understand Major League Baseball and the 162 grind and all the inner workings. And that's where, and again, this would never happen, but would Bruce Bochy not want to be the top dog and be on that bench somewhere? As my trusted OG assistant, maybe he doesn't want to be in front of the cameras every day, getting peppered by the media every day. Maybe he wants more of a backseat. You know, I'm just, could it be Ron Wotus? Could it be someone I'm not even anticipating right now? Like, look, the other name that really intrigues me, and the Tennessee guy is the one that really hits me. I would love to go that direction. I think it meets what we're looking for. But Yadier Molina is another name that I keep seeing thrown out.
Yadi?
And I want to think about this. Like, you need someone who can connect this clubhouse. And there are lots of guys from different corners of the world. And Yadier has played on a variety of high-level teams. He's a catcher. I always love catchers as my managers because they are pitch to pitch, thinking about situations, five steps ahead, how to set up someone. You know, this guy's on the on-deck circle. This is how we have to attack this guy. I think Yadier Molina would be an excellent choice, but he would need somebody who's a trusted agent on that bench who has experience doing the job. You know, this reminds me a lot of like when Sean McVay took over the LA Rams, one of his first hires was Wade Phillips.
Mm.
And Wade Phillips had an unbelievable feel and resume for how to do the job and how to maybe give some insights to a young rookie guy taking that first long journey. And so whether it's Tony Vitello, Yadier Molina, I hear people recommend Mark DeRosa, who coached the USA team. I'm not as hot on Mark DeRosa as others. I understand the allure. The other name that I keep seeing is Stephen Vogt. Stephen Vogt has got 1 year left on his contract with Cleveland. It would require some sort of negotiation with Cleveland. I feel like that's a long shot.
As Cleveland is hosting a playoff game today against the Detroit Tigers after an incredible September push and an incredible collapse by the Tigers. I don't see that one happening, but continue. Yes.
I don't either. I don't either. But, you know, I guess people think Cleveland is cheap or whatever. I think where I'm going at with this is that as much as I love Bruce Bochy, he is an all-time legend. I hold him in the highest of high regards. To me, going backwards and bringing him back in would not be my first choice. I understand the allure. I'm not saying that he's not great. I know he just won a championship with the Texas Rangers a couple of years ago. He's 70.
He's old.
As much as I want to go back in time, I do believe part of the future of the Giants is forging a different path. That doesn't mean you can't have respect and honor all the things, you know, from 10, 12, and 14. But baseball is very different than what it was 15 years ago. And if they want to go into the future, I want someone who's going to have a long runway. That's just my preference currently as of right now.
Giants fans, are you all in on bringing Bruce Bochy back to the Bay? Or are you going elsewhere? Are you going new? Are you going innovative? Are you going, as Shasky's saying, you know, Tony Vitello's the guy you're referencing, the head coach at Tennessee? Is that the name you're going for? Are you going off the board? And what is Buster Posey looking for, more importantly? Because Yadier Molina, obviously one of his peers, a guy he played with,
yeah,
has tremendous respect for all the battles that the Cardinals and Giants have had in the past. Probably the two, like, when I think of the catchers of our generation, which is probably the last
10, 15
plus years, it's him, Buster Posey, and Yadier Molina.
Yep.
And then for a little bit, it was Joe Mauer, but half of that was probably a first base because all the concussions, what have you. But it's those two guys. When I just think of the top of their craft and knowing their pitching staffs inside and out, it's Yadier Molina and Buster Posey. I didn't even think of Yadier. That's a great name. And I just think of all the Spanish speakers in the clubhouse themselves. That is that's a big aspect of it. Being able to communicate with your star players.
That's
And I get that, like, Rafi Devers can speak some English. I get some of these guys can speak some English. There is a subtle nuance, though, of actually knowing both of the languages and knowing, you know, what makes these guys tick. That matters.
Well, and it doesn't mean that somebody who maybe doesn't speak Spanish at all can't, you know, navigate around that. But
absolutely.
I do believe
that Bochy had a lot of Spanish speakers on that team, and he knew those guys inside and out.
And they had a variety of guys on the staff who would be able to communicate in a variety of ways. But, like, connecting with the young guys is important. You know, I think whoever the next person is, you want Rafi Devers, Willie Adames, Matt Chapman to a slightly lesser degree, you know, Bryce Eldridge, Logan Webb. You know, you want those guys 1,000% on board.
You have to.
There's so much money invested in those guys that, and I'm not saying they're making the choice, but they have to at least have some sort of, like, thumbs up, let's do this.
So you got Logan. I'm just looking at the depth chart right now, and this is kind of what I'm also wondering. And I get it. You're finding out your manager for the future. This is, like, the first major, you know, decision for Buster Posey right now. He got rid of Bob Melvin. Mm-hmm. All right. So you got to find something better now. Mm-hmm. Because Bob was 81-81 this past year. There was some good. There was some bad. It was a lot of meh, though. And I think Sam had the line yesterday when he told me he always referenced him as Bob Meh-vin, not Melvin. So I'll give you a 4 for that, Sam. It's good. Shout out Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys Pod. 150th episode yesterday. I made my first appearance. So shout out, Sam.
Oh, he was just annoying the ever-living stuff out of me yesterday trying to get
me on. I texted you once. You're like, I don't know when my wife's going to be home.
He literally said on the pod, he's like, yeah, we got Spadoni on here. And obviously not because I couldn't get Steven Rizzotto or Joe Shasky on. It's because I wanted Joe as my first choice. Thanks, Sammy.
I'm sorry. My wife's going to New York this week. Your boy is just overwhelmed with life.
It's okay.
I apologize.
Concrete jungles where dreams are made of.
But, you know, like,
no, there's no hard feelings about it. Don't worry about it.
I want you guys to think about sports in the last, like, just 15, 20 years. You know, everyone's going to point to a Nick Saban going back and forth between college and pros or Jimmy Johnson. But there have been a lot of guys that have gone from the college ranks to the professional ranks, all right, in a variety of sports.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens is a great example. You know, Brad Stevens has had excellent success. Has he not?
He's had excellent success. He's one of the, we don't talk about Brad Stevens enough, not only as a college coach, an NBA head coach, but making the transition at his peak to the front office.
Thank you.
And becoming a champion there, that is literally Jerry West type of stuff.
Exactly. You know, and
he just wasn't the player that Jerry West was.
And then I think of someone to a much lesser degree, but Billy Donovan has had a heck of an NBA career. Like, in the sense that, look how long he stuck around.
I mean, he was really good on those, like, we sleep Billy Donovan on the OKC teams when he was there taking over for Scott Brooks. Like, they had the Warriors on the brink there.
Exactly. And obviously Jim Harbaugh, having played in the pros, going back and forth between college and pros, is one example of it.
Pete Carroll.
Pete Carroll's the other one. Well, and I would say that Tony Vitello, very much like Pete Carroll, is a culture builder. Mm. And, I mean, he's hyped up out of his mind. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's got some sort of combination of Dan Campbell meets Pete Carroll, right? And those guys are infectious. And looking in the dugout the last couple of years, Kapler was so tense. They went complete opposite direction with Bob Melvin, and they went total flatliner. To me, I actually think they need somebody who is like, let's go, let's pump it up, like, gonna clap it up with the boys and give somebody a bear hug and just not be so on edge at every single moment, but also not be dead asleep in the dugout. I think they need somebody who can thread the needle here, and that's why I think thinking inside the college ranks is not the worst move in the world.
When you look at this team, what's more important for this offseason? Is it adding to the roster? I know the cop-out answers say both, but is it the current depth chart and adding to it, or is it the managerial hire for you? Because I'm looking at it right now. You got Logan Webb, you got Robbie Ray. That's a hell of a 1-2 punch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, next year, Kaiway Tang, do you bring back Justin Verlander, who salvaged his season pretty well, had a sub-4 ERA. The first couple months were rough. The win-loss percentage was awful for him. I know winning's not everything for the starting pitchers, but for some, it still matters. I'm sure for Justin, it was hard to watch that 0-10 for quite some time. You feel like you have a good nucleus now. For the first time in a long time, you have a legitimate nucleus at the top of that lineup. You got Devers, right? You got Chapman. You got Adames. You trade Ramos. You keep Ramos. You got Jung-Hoo Lee, who I actually thought had a hell of a, I'm calling a redshirt rookie season. Some ups and downs. Casey Schmidt, I thought, emerged at times. Patrick Bailey.
I'm not going to fall victim to the final month of the season.
No, I'm not. Exactly. Drew Gilbert was, you know, he's a fun player, but producing-wise, but he's a young guy. And then Bryce Elder, obviously, is the big unknown. And the guy you're hoping takes that big leap. So you got structure there. You have to add on top of that. And I guess that's where I'm at. When I saw the change yesterday, it's like, okay, that's one of the moves that they're going to have to make this offseason. But it's going to have, like, this is going to be the winter of Buster.
You know what,
like,
this year reminds me of? And I didn't see this coming at the time. The 2010-2011 49er transition from Mike Singletary to Jim Harbaugh. Mm. Jim Harbaugh steps in and everyone's like, whoa! Actually, they got a ton of talent, and they're all in their prime. Whoa! Like, I think the right guy at the helm and a couple of moves, because I think both are true. They need multiple things to happen this offseason. With the right moves, the right guy at the helm, I think we're going to look at this situation completely different come March, April, and May. I really do. I think this team is a sleeping stud team that could really put a dent. Guys, look at the Dodgers. I know the West is theirs year after year. They got a lot of bloated contracts. Now, I know they got the randos that show up every single year that overproduce, but I think somebody's going to catch them next year. Well, I really do.
The Padres could have. They had an opportunity to the
last
few
weeks. They were
vulnerable
this year in a way that we didn't think was even possible at the beginning of the year.
I can't even think about the Dodgers or hell, the Padres yet. Like, you just cleared the D-backs within the last week. That's a team you're going to have to for sure overtake, and they have a lot of question marks. I guess they retained their manager, Torey Lovullo. So we're talking about it all right now. Bruce Bochy is out there, Giants fan.